go. Good to see you. It's always good to gather with God's people and hear the gospel preached as we just heard. That was outstanding. Anytime Jesus Christ is lifted up, it's outstanding.
Amen.
It's outstanding. If I just stood here for 5 minutes and exalted Jesus Christ, that's enough. The best 5 minutes of our lives is to hear Him exalted.
Amen.
Turn to Psalm 2. Psalm 2. There's 150 psalms, and the first psalm starts out with a question. Why? Why? Why do the heathen, the nations, rage, gather tumultuously? And the people imagine, and that word imagine can also mean meditate, plot, plan. But they imagine a vain, an empty thing. This shows right from the beginning the extent of the fall. The extent of the fall. Why do the nations, not a few rogue nations, all nations on this earth, produced by Adam, is set against God? There's not one nation on this earth, and I say produced by Adam because there is one nation, a holy nation, Peter speaks of. That's for God.
Yeah.
That believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. That loves Him. But as far as all men and women that came from Adam, not one love Him. Not one. How many billions and billions of people do you imagine has come, has been born into this world, and not one of them, by nature, loves God, thinks of God, calls on God, seeks after Him? He said, none seeks after me. You would think that we would be interested in the One who created us. Wouldn't you? You would think that we would want to... We're supposed to be intelligent people, aren't we? We weren't born from monkeys. God created us. You would think we'd have an interest in finding out who our Creator is. Instead, none seek after God. None. That's astounding to me. But that's the extent of the fall. We weren't wounded. We are dead.
Dead.
This shows that the whole world is against the Lord Jesus Christ. Even those who pretend to be for Him, they are against Him. All you got to do is tell the truth on Him.
Yeah.
Just tell the truth on Him. You'll find out. Well, that's not the Jesus Christ I believe. Well, that's the Jesus Christ of this Bible. You know, Paul said they'll come preaching another Jesus. Which one do you believe?
Yeah.
Which one do you believe? There's only one of this Bible. But Satan is so subtle, he sends out others. They preach in His name. Do many mighty works in His name. Fool people. But this shows that the whole world is against our Lord. What do men have to rage about? What do the nations and the heathen have to rage about? God is holy. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with holy? God is just. What is wrong with just? Well, if you're unjust, I reckon there's probably a lot of wrong with it. You don't want to face a just God if you're an unjust person.
Not naturally, you don't. What's wrong with holy? What's wrong with just? God is love. That's who He is. God is merciful. God is gracious. God gives us the air we breathe, the food we eat. What is wrong with that? What are you raging about?
I know. Let me answer it this way. I'm going to give it to you three answers. Why do the heathen rage and the people? That's everybody. Imagine a vain thing. First of all, because the carnal mind, since the fall, the carnal mind is enmity against God. Every man, every woman born into this world is at war with God. I heard Henry say one time, he said, someone said, I've loved God all my life. He said, that's just too long. That's just too long. You and I have not loved God all our life. Y'all, we did not love God until the love of God was shed abroad in our hearts. A real love for God is out of response of His love to us. And the measure of my love to God is my love to you. I don't love you any more than I love God. If I love God, that's how I love you. That's how I love you. The natural mind is enmity against God. No matter how blessed a man is, his mind is at war with God. He's at war. Man wants to be his own God. Until God saves us, we want that position. We want the position of sovereignty. We want the position, I'll rule my house. This is my house. No, now God can be sovereign in your house, but leave mine alone. It says over in Psalm 53, the fool said in his heart, no God, no God for me. That's what, no God for me. I'm all right. I can handle this. No God for me. And then secondly, man is born dead in trespasses and sins. He is spiritually dead. Dead. Now, if you receive a phone call from someone you know and they say, so-and-so died, do you have a problem understanding that? You don't have a problem understanding that. He's dead, isn't he? But when we say man is spiritually dead, somehow they have a problem understanding that. It's like, you mean he's barely alive? Or, I mean, is he barely dead? Or, no, dead. Look it up in the dictionary. He's dead. He has no spiritual life. He cannot communicate with God. He doesn't have the mind to even think on any level of God. He doesn't even have the mind to go there. He's dead. Dead in trespasses and sins. And because of this, he cannot know God. For God is spirit. Man is flesh now. God is light. Man is darkness. God is truth. Man is a liar. His thoughts of God are wrong. His thoughts of God are wrong. God said, you thought I was altogether like yourself. Could you be more wrong than to think God is like you are? Like to think God is like me? How awful.
Yeah.
How awful. I couldn't have a higher thought of myself and a lower thought of God.
That's right.
Yeah. To think like that. You thought I was like you. Well, I'm going to show you. And then thirdly, all men, high or low, rich or poor, educated or uneducated, despise God's way of salvation, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, as we heard, is God's way. He's not one of the ways. He is God's way of salvation. He's the only way to God. He said that. No man comes to the Father but by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Man despises God's way of salvation. The scripture says that Christ was despised and rejected of men. That's just amazing. The Creator comes into the world and the world knows Him not. Has nothing to do with Him. It ought to go to hell. I understand that. I ought to go to hell. But by God's grace, He's not going to let some. He's going to save them. And you're not going to go there. He's going to save them by His grace. As Todd said, put away their sins. He put away their sins. Even, he says here, the kings of the earth set themselves. They are determined. They are determined. They have taken a stand against God. This is what they stood up. They have taken a stand against God. And the rulers have taken counsel. This is, can you imagine this? I mean, we got little peons running around and they're going to take a stand against God Almighty, who spoke and the world came into existence. Who said, let there be light, and there was light. And a bunch of nothing's going to stop Him, going to hinder Him. That's why he laughs here. We get to this, man, and you know, it is laughable. As sad as it is, it's laughable that men think they can put God in check. But the kings of the earth have set themselves. They're absolutely determined to stand against Him. And the rulers, the religious leaders, they're the ones who said, we will not have this man to reign over us. You don't have any say-so in this matter. You and I don't have any say-so. We're not going to vote on this. I'm not going to take a vote. This matter's already done. This matter was taken care of before creation. He was set before creation. We'll get to that in a minute. They set themselves. They were determined to kill Him. Over in Acts, it says the kings of the earth stood up. We see this in the Gospels. But it hasn't changed. It hasn't changed. If the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world today like He did then, we'd still kill Him.
Yes.
We'd still kill Him if we could. The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. That's what it says in Acts 4:26. But it also goes on to say that they only did what God determined to be done. Oh, I tell you, sin just really dumbs you down, doesn't it? I mean, for 6,000 years, look how stupid. I'm serious. Look how stupid Satan is. He's still trying to dethrone. He's still trying to bring down the glory of God. 6,000 years, and he hasn't learned that he can't do it. You tell me, sin really dumbs you down. It really does. But here's what the kings and the rulers want to do. Here's the whole problem. Here's the reason for all the tumult. Here's the reason for the rage. Here's the reason why they wanted to kill Him. Let us break their bands asunder. Let us unite together and take away the restraints. We don't want any restraints, do we? A good example, when God pulled back His hand of restraint, is Sodom and Gomorrah. That's what we turn into. That's what we turn into. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. I was thinking about what this cord can mean. I really don't know what all it means. But let's take away His laws and let's take away His word. Let's just get Him out of the picture. Let's get God out of the picture and then we can do what we want to do. What it is here is a revolt against God, and this happened in the fall and it's still going on. It's still going on. It hasn't let up and it won't let up. It will not let up. Let's break their authority. Let's break their control. Man wants the power. And we want that power until God saves us. Until He brings us to bow at the feet of the King of Glory. We want that power. We like it when we walk in the room and people say, "There's He. You see, He came in the door. You see, He came in the door." Like you're somebody. We like that. We like that. We want that kind of... That's what Satan said to the Lord. "Fall down and worship me. Recognize me. Please." It looks like you say, "Please recognize me. Somebody recognize me." That's what we want by nature. We have that in us. We want recognition. Instead of giving it to Him. As that Todd preached that message, that was given to Christ. You and I have nothing to do with it. Did you hear what Jesus said to me? "They're all taken away." And He's the one that took them away. I didn't take anything away. He did. We want, by nature, what belongs to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. No restraint, no punishment. That's what we want. We want no restraints and no punishments. That's what we want. Although we'll punish somebody for messing up, but we don't want to be punished. But listen here. Notice, here's the voice. Here's the vanity. Listen, the vanity of opposing God. Verses 4 to 6. The vanity of opposing God. "He that sitteth in the heavens," he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. He's speaking in our language. Language you and I can understand. "The Lord shall have them in derision." Here's God's response to all this. You know, if all of you were upset at me and you were out to get me, I would probably go hide. Because there's too many of you. There's just too many of you. God laughs. It's just laughable. Just laughable. He's speaking in laugh. How foolish. He's saying, it's so foolish to even think this. That we can stand and oppose God and oppose Christ. His work of redemption, His glory. How laughable. When men try to dethrone God. Try to dethrone God. Can you imagine? They don't even know where He is. Not natural man. They don't even know where He is. They can't find Him. If they wanted to dethrone, they wouldn't know where He is. He's in heaven. He's in heaven. He's not in Rome. He's in heaven. On the throne. "Heaven is my throne. Earth is my footstool." You and I live on His footstool. And notice God's position. He sitteth. Like our Lord when that boat was in a storm and it was being tossed to and fro and the disciples are freaking out. He's asleep. He's asleep because, first of all, that's what perfect faith does. He perfectly believed God. Perfect. That's why you can sleep. You know, you can sleep when you believe God. It's when we start to doubt that we lose sleep, we can't go to sleep. You know, I was preaching not too long ago. I'm getting off the subject here, but I was preaching here at home, and I was preaching on Peter. Peter said that portion in Matthew. Peter said, "Lord, if it's You, bid me to come out to You." He said, "Well, come on." And Peter stepped out of that boat and walked on water. He walked on water, and it says he saw the wind boisterous and began to sink. And he said, "Lord, save me." And all the times I've preached from that, I never saw this, and I never really saw the message there. It was this, and I think it's this. There's one man whose faith didn't fail, and he didn't sink. There's a real man standing in warm water who believed God. He believed God. He's God, yes. But he believed God, and by faith, he walked right out on that water. Can I explain all that?
No, I'll just tell you about it.
I can't explain it. That's when we start to lose it, when we start trying to explain it.
Yeah.
Let me see where I was at. Okay, he sitteth at rest, undisturbed. Undisturbed. Heaven, which is God's throne, is not in turmoil because of man's rebellion. He's never been in turmoil. Not once. Not once has God, you know, just like, been exasperated. No, not once. Before God created the first thing, He took care of everything. As I said, I'll not do anything He doesn't know about. Nothing. And that's how He could put away all my sins, because they were all before Him, and He put them away. He put them away. Even before I ever committed them. Even before I ever committed them, He put them away. He'll have them in derision. He'll mock them. Haman, you know, you remember the story of Mordecai. Haman, boy, he's got a juicy one going here. He's going, I'm going to build a gallows, and I'm going to make this plot, and Mordecai is going to, they're going to hang him. I'm going to get rid of that guy. Guess who got hung on? The guy that built it. God turned that thing around, and Haman got hanged on by his own noose. He did. Jesus Christ was hanged on a tree. And they thought, we got Him. Now guess where He's at? He's on the throne. He's on the throne. And then shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure. When men have played their games long enough, and they filled up their iniquity, God will speak. And you know this, all He needs to do is speak. He doesn't need to send an army after us. He doesn't. He just speaks. Because here's why. Where the word of a king is, there's power. Power. Yet, as for me, that's what it means, as for me, I, God, set my king, past tense, upon my holy hill of Zion. I have divinely appointed my son to be the king, and the hill he sits upon and rules and reigns is the church. You know, the most powerful militant force in this world is not the United States Army. It's the church of the living God. One prophet prays and the sun stands still. A prophet prays and it doesn't rain for a few years. Then he prays again, and what happens? It rains. There's nothing on this earth more powerful than the Lord's church. And that's where He reigns. He reigns through His church. He rules this world through His church. That's hard to conceive. It's just hard to conceive. Man's rage cannot stop God's purpose. None can say unto Him, none can stop His hand or say unto Him, what are you doing? What are you doing? You know, the Scripture says He gives no account of any of His matters. He doesn't answer to me and you. If He wants to take the most precious thing to me, He's not going to ask me if He can do it. He's going to do it. He's going to do the wisest thing for me. And He's not going to ask me what I think about it. He's not going to ask me. Now the king speaks. And I need to move on. There's not a clock in here, is there? I will declare the decree. That's what our Lord did when He came into the world. I will declare the decree. The Lord, capital L-O-R-D, the self-existing one, hast said to me, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. I will declare the decree. Tell them you're my Son. Tell them the story of redemption. Tell it to them. And Christ said, as I hear, I speak. As I hear, the words I speak are not mine. They are the decrees of God. When our Lord spoke, He spoke the decrees of God. Christ knows the eternal counsel of God because He was there. I was by Him as one brought up with Him. He was there when the decree came down. And it came down to Him. Came down to Him. Thou art my son. You're not a son of Adam. Son of God. We know you. Oh, we know you. You're the carpenter's son. Well, they didn't know Him, did they? You're God's son. Peter, who do men say I am? Well, some think you're Elijah. Some think you're Jeremiah. They're all confused. They don't know who you are. Who do you say I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, Peter, you're teachable. You're not teachable till you get that right. Until God burns into your heart that Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh, that He is God's Son, the second person of the Trinity, you're not teachable. You're not teachable. Now, you may believe some facts, but you can't learn. You not really learn doctrine until you learn Christ. He didn't say, take my yoke upon you and learn the doctrines about me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And if you learn of Christ, you'll learn right doctrine. You cannot learn wrong doctrine if you learn Christ. You can't do it. The decree that was settled before the foundation of the world is what He speaks and nothing else. He's not babbling. We babble. You know, we there's a lot of talk that I do. I could just shut up and be better off. But our Lord, when He spoke the decrees of God. Every time. Nothing ever flowed out of His mouth but wisdom and truth. And the purpose of God. This matter of the rule and reign of Jesus Christ, the God-man mediator, was settled long, long ago. Now bow to it. That's what you're going to say at the end of it. Ask me, he speaks here to the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask me and I shall give thee the heathen. Aren't you glad he did that?
Amen.
Because here we are.
Here we are.
Here we are. Preaching his gospel, singing his praises. Here we are. I'll give thee the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possessions. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, and they who dwell therein. Satan said to the Lord, if you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give you the kingdoms of the world. You don't own them. You don't own them. They belong to God. He never resigned all this over to Him. He didn't lose. It's His. It's always been the Lord's. Always been the Lord's. When Satan said that, you know he's lying. Because nothing comes out of his mouth is not a lie. This has always been his. But listen here in John 17. Father, I pray for them which thou hast given me. You reckon he'll have them? You reckon he'll have them? He said in another place there in John 17, Father, I will. He can say that. You know, when you're God, you can say that. If you're God, you can say, I will. And he said, Father, I will that they be with me where I am. Not where I'm going. He didn't say, they be with me where I'm going, where I am. He's in the bosom of the Father. At the same time, he's on this earth. That's a mystery. But he said, I pray that they be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, the glory I had with you before the world was. You'd think somebody being around before the world was, we'd listen to him, wouldn't you? You'd think we'd listen. Ask me and I'll give it. I'll give it to you. He intercedes. Now listen. He intercedes for that which he was promised. And he gets it. And then he says here, thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess. Whether you like it or not.
Yes.
Whether you like it or not. You're going to bow and you're going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You're going to bow to His redemptive work. You're going to bow to His righteousness. You're going to bow to His blood. You're going to bow to everything about Him. You're going to bow. I pray God make me willing to do it now. Now. Christ, what He's saying here is the Lord Jesus Christ, His reign is sure. You can stake your life on this. His reign is sure. Now be wise. Here's the Lord. You know, the Lord's merciful. Here's space to repent. The preacher speaks. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Don't play the fool. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Be wise. You can't take on the Almighty. Don't think like that. Listen to his preacher. Listen to the message Todd preached. Listen to it. Listen to it. I'll tell you why. Because it's not Todd, it's God. God's speaking. I know. I'm standing here as a clay pot, but now I'm telling you, if this is of God, God is speaking. When you read the Word of God, God is speaking. You're not just reading a novel. You're not just reading another book. You're reading the Word of God. This is God speaking. When you hear His preacher, and he's preaching Christ, and Him crucified, I'm telling you, God's speaking. Take heed how you hear. Our Lord said, for what measure you measure it with, what measure you meet it with, it shall be measured to you again. Listen to God's preacher. Bow to King Jesus. Be wise. Serve the Lord. Bow down to Him. Receive Him. How? With fear and rejoice with trembling. Now, grace can make these three go together. Grace makes fear, a right fear of God, rejoicing and trembling all go together. Apart from God, apart from the grace of God, the work of God, this will mess you up. Because you'll fear God wrong. Your fear of God will be wrong. Your rejoicing will be just... It will not be rejoicing. It's not. And your trembling will be from a false understanding of the gospel, of who God is. But grace can put those three together. You can have a real fear, reverent fear of God, and tremble and rejoice at the same time. Now, it all comes down to this, and I close. Kiss the Son. It's amazing that He would even say this to a bunch of rebels. I mean, I would. You know we wouldn't. We wouldn't. But here, it comes down to this. The nations have gathered together against Him. They're raging against Him. They hate Him. Let's kill Him. They despise Him. They rejected Him. And yet, He says here, He sends His preacher along, and He says, kiss my Son. Kiss my Son. Bow down. And listen, here, listen. When He says, kiss the Son. Embrace. Embrace Him, His redemptive work, everything about it. Embrace Him. To kiss the Son is a show of affection. Peter, do you love me? He didn't say, Peter, do you believe me? Peter, do you believe the doctrine of election? I've learned this. It's a given. If the Lord has saved you, He revealed Christ to you, you're going to believe the right doctrine. You're going to believe it. When you hear it, you're going to bow to it because it's His doctrine. It comes from Him. When you hear of the elect, behold, mine elect, you will have no trouble with election. When you learn the elect, who He is, you won't have any trouble with the doctrine of election. You won't have any trouble with the doctrine of total depravity when God shows you who you are. Well, I say He shows you who you are when He shows you who He is. But you really don't understand total depravity until you see holiness. When you understand something of holiness, that's when you understand something of sinfulness. Because it's the total opposite. It's other. Holiness is other. Other than. Kiss the Son. Now listen, lest He be angry. You don't want... Christ is the Lamb of God. But He's also the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Let me deal with the Lamb first. Let me deal with the Lamb first. Because I can't handle that Lion. There's a side of Jesus Christ you don't want to deal with. This is the one who says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. And it's the same one who says, depart from me, I never knew you. Go to hell. Same person. Blessed. Oh, the happiness of all who trust Him. You know the reason you trust Him, the reason I trust Him. Trust Him. Is because of the grace of God. The grace of God. I trust Him. I believe Him. I believe Him because I can't help it. You can't help but believe. When the Lord grants you faith, you cannot help it. It's like showing you this piece of paper. What color is it? White. Well, how'd you know that? I just showed it to you. And when He shows you Christ, you can't help but believe Him. You can't help because He just revealed Him to you. When He commands the light of the gospel to shine into your heart, you're a new person. You'll never be the same. All right.
What a night. What a wonderful, wonderful night.